It was a hot and steamy evening in July of 1967 when black cab driver John Smith was arrested and beaten by white officers after a routine traffic stop. Rumors that Smith had died spread throughout the city and residents took to the streets.
The worst race riots since those 2 years ago in the Watts section of Los Angeles rocked New Jersey's largest city, Newark, for five consecutive days and nights.
Newark became the epicenter of black rage. 26 people died, more than 700 were injured, and nearly 1,500 arrested.
You see the condition we're living in? You see these houses here? And the people who own these houses don't live in Newark.
But do you think it does any good to turn the neighborhood into the way this one looks tonight?
Yeah.
What do you think will happen because of this?
Nothing. The white man is going to listen downtown.
Late activist, poet, and Newark native Amiri Baraka said people were angry about education, substandard living conditions, and racial profiling, and were watching the larger civil rights movement unfold.
And Dr. King was talking essentially about peace and love and turning of the cheek and, you know, Christianity, human brotherhood. We sat and watched him get beat up every day on television. People spit in your face and spit on you. And then we began to think, well, why should we have to put up with that? There is nothing on the planet that mandates that you have to accept this kind of treatment.
Longtime community activist Bob Kervin saw the first rocks and Molotov cocktails fly. Kervin says he was not surprised.
We lived in a powder keg. And if it were not John Smith, it would have been, you know, Harry Jones or Mary Brown or somebody. Something would have happened, I believe, that would have sparked a period of violence in the city.
Monsignor William Linder was a newly ordained white priest recently assigned to the all-black Queen of Angels Parish. Linder says the police perpetrated much of the violence.
The city felt they had to arm their police. The trouble is they didn't include training for them. They had never seen shotguns before, and it's the police didn't understand the damage one shotgun can do.
Linder says when the governor called in the National Guard, things got even worse. Surprising as it sounds today, no charges were ever filed in relation to any of the deaths that occurred during Newark's summer of 67.
You know, these kids were using M1 rifles. I mean, you would never give someone that without a lot of training. Now, people were responsible for that, and yet we never held them responsible for that. We never held them responsible for what we should have.
After the rebellion, residents demanded change. Newark elected its first African-American mayor in 1970, Kenneth Gibson. Gibson says the images of the rebellion still haunt the city to this day.
Hundreds of images of stores broken into on Springfield Avenue. But the city did not burn. In fact, there was no neighborhood in the city of Newark that burned. But those images created the image for the city of Newark that continues today.
The son of late poet Amiri Baraka is now the leader of the city. Mayor Raz Baraka was sworn into office in July of 2014, vowing to take the city into the future.
A mayor that puts his city first. A mayor that never forgets how he got here. Yeah, we need a mayor that's radical.
But poverty and unemployment levels are higher than the national average. Late last year, the police department was put under federal consent decree after the Justice Department found widespread civil rights violations at the hands of the Newark police. I'm Alexandra Hill, WBGO News.